بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد, this is a continuation of an intensive and somewhat pretty tough tawheed class that we're going through. As most of you know, it's the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyya, a book written by Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah and explained by many scholars. One of the best references of Tawheed and Aqeedah. We mean Tawheed and Aqeedah, the essential, important, skeleton part or basis part of Islam that everyone should know and everyone should comprehend. Our statement today is Imam al-Tahawi said, rahimahullah, his fifth statement, he is internal without a beginning and enduring without an end. Allah, he's talking about Allah. This is the thing that you have to believe as a Muslim. Allah is internal, without eternal, without a beginning, enduring, without an end. Eternal, I repeat the statement, if you guys have the books, look at it in front of you, most of you printed it out. He is internal, without a beginning, enduring, without an end. The first issue on this matter is the proof. I know I went over this section last time, but a lot of people complained I went fast. So if I go too fast, just slow me down. The proof for the statement, because although Imam al-Tahawi said it, he's not authority like Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are. So we have to know the proof for that. In the verses in the Quran, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. It's verse number 3 of Surah number 57. He is the first and the last. He is the outward and the inward. He's the first and the last. He's the outward and the inward. This is verse 57 of Surah number 3. Another hadith, that's one verse. Another hadith that the Prophet ﷺ used to say about Allah when he made dua, أَنْتَ الْأَوَّلُ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٍ. You're the first and there's nothing before you. You're the end and there's nothing after you. So we have two proof for this statement of Imam al-Tahawi. There's additional proof, but it's sufficient to have one from the Quran and one from the Hadith, that he's the first without a beginning, the last without an end. The next point is, he uses, as I told you, the word Qadim. Qadim in Arabic means, doesn't mean in eternal, but rather, the more precise meaning of Qadim is old. And I said, Qadim in Arabic or old is not a name or attribute of Allah in itself like that. We're precise in how we describe Allah like He Himself described Himself. Some philosophers and some deviant sects consider Qadim an attribute of Allah. However, that's false. That's not right. This name in itself, old or qadim, in itself cannot be used to describe Allah. We're going to get to why in a minute. Why can't qadim be a name of Allah? There's four reasons for that. The first reason, every single name of Allah is in the Quran or in the Sunnah and specified that this is a name of Allah. If there was a verse, there was a hadith, that Qadim is a name of Allah, we would have accepted it. So that's the first reason, Qadim is not a name of Allah. Qadim, in itself, doesn't mean 100% praise. The names of Allah are 100% praising of Allah. Unlike maybe attributes or actions, or explanations of actions, the names of Allah are 100% praise of Allah. Qadim is used in the Quran to defame other things. And I told you in Surah 36, verse 39, Allah explains about old, it talks about an old shriveled palm tree. If you talk about an old, how Allah describes an old shriveled palm tree, that's in a way putting down something. Allah can't have a name where there's any aspect of it or any percent of it which is a put down or could mean something negative. The third reason is, are you with me? The writers, the note takers, are you guys with me? You guys with me? The third reason is Qadim implies when you say old, there's something older than it. In Arabic, Qadim means something older. So if you say old, that means there's something that may have been older than Allah, which is of course absolutely false and haram to say that. Unlike when you say the first. When you say the first, there's nothing before the first. Qadim, always in Arabic, could and may, and actually strong possibility imply that there's something before it. We can't use it for that reason as well. The last reason is it's not a name where you can call Allah with. You can't call Allah and say, Ya Qadim, like some people do. Some people say, Ya Qadim. Allah has the best of all names, as Allah says in verse 180, surah number 7. Verse 180, number 7, verse surah number 7, Allah has the best of all names. But not amongst them is Qadim. You can't say, Ya Qadim. Something you can't say, Ya in it, oh Allah, oh Rahman, oh Rahim, you can say that. But Ya Qadim, you can't say that. That means it's not a name of Allah. Can you use the attributes of Allah to call Allah with? Like what? You guys are sure? Allah has hands. Could you say Ya hands? Ya Yadullah? Could you? No. It has to be a name. Some names imply attributes. If you remember when we took earlier, some names imply attributes. Yes, you could use those. Sami'a implies that Allah can hear. However, it's not an attribute in itself, only attribute. It's a name that implies an attribute. Allah's name is Sami'a, and He also hears. This you can use and call Allah with. Ya Sami'a. However, attributes alone, Allah has a saq, a leg. That we don't know, of course. If you remember from our first class, we said we can't compare Him to creation, and He's way beyond our imagination, and He is the, you know, nothing is like Allah, but He has a leg. We know that. We have hadith about that. Ashin. Could we say, Ya Shin? No. We can't say that. These are attributes of Allah. Pure attributes, you can't call Allah with them. Names, pure names, you can call Allah with. Ya Allah. Names that imply attributes, you can call Allah with. So we got three categories. Attributes, you can't call Allah with them. You can't. These are used to describe Allah. Names, yes, you can use Allah's names. Names that imply attributes, yes, you can use those names that imply attributes to call Allah with. The next issue, what are the rules to know a name of Allah? What's the rules if we want to know this is the name of Allah? The first rule is it has to be in the Quran and the Sunnah. It can't be some nice unique name you like and you imagine that in your mind and you call Allah that name. It's got to be in the Quran and the Sunnah, and not enough be in the Quran and the Sunnah. We're talking about names here. It's got to be specified that this is a name. It's got to specify. It's got to be in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and specifically that this is a name of Allah. It's got to tell you, in the Quran or in the Hadith, these are the names of Allah. It's got to be something, or should be something, that you can call in your dua. Ya Kareem, Ya Halim, something that you can call Allah with. The third thing, it's 1, 2, 3, it's got to be 100% praisal of Allah. Nothing negative about it. Nothing negative about the names. You can't have any negative aspect about Allah's names. The most restricted rules apply to Allah's names. The less restricted than that, look at that. First is names. These are the most restricted. After Allah's name, category-wise, which are less restricted, is Allah's attributes. less restricted than Allah's attributes in our rules and regulations are Allah's actions. Less restricted than Allah's names and attributes, I'm giving to you an order, is explanation of Allah's attributes or actions. Explanation. So the strictest we have in Islam, in Tawheed, is on Allah's name. They gotta be 100% pure. For example, attributes, Allah conspires. Conspire could mean to something negative, but we all know what Allah means when He conspires, and we'll get to that, inshaAllah. Attributes could mean something like conspire. Name? No. It has to be 100% pure. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. It has to be 100% pure. The third one is to describe actions of Allah. Allah destroyed, Allah took this earth down. They're less restricted. The less restricted of all four is explanation of attributes and actions of Allah. If you want to take them the opposite, the broadest we have is the explanation. A little bit more restricted than explanations, actions. A little bit more restricted is attributes. A little bit more restricted is the names of Allah. Yes.
Those rules?
The first one is it has to be in the Quran and the Sunnah. And it has to specify in the Quran and the Sunnah that it's the name of Allah. The second one, it has to be 100% pure praisal of Allah. And the third one, it has to be something you call Allah with. Because Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Allah has the best of all names, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا So ask Him with it. Let's apply these three rules. Next point over here. Apply the three rules. Latif, since you asked, apply the three rules to Qadim. We talked about Qadim. I said some sects consider Qadim one of Allah's names. Apply these three rules to them, Latif. The first one is?
Okay, the first one is has to be from Quran and Sunnah. We don't have it from Quran.
It's not in the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay, the second one?
It has to be something you can call upon. You can't call upon.
Has to be, no, that's number three. Take them in order. Number two is? It has to be? You're the one
asking.
It
has to be praising of Allah.
Pure praise of Allah. Not praise of, pure 100% praise of Allah. What did we say about Qadim? What did we say about Qadim?
There is deficiency.
There is some deficiency. Why? Because there could be, there, it could imply there's older. Okay, the third one?
Has to be something you can call upon.
Allah with?
Yes.
And you can't call Allah with this name. So that shows you how to apply this to Qadim. Qadim and Da'im, old and everlasting, are Arabic words. Qadim, Da'im. Old, in Arabic, old is Qadim. Da'im, everlasting or enduring. Who can tell me these are not names or attributes of Allah? Who can tell me what we have as attributes for these two? These in themselves are not attributes of Allah. What is it?
Akhir is for old, I mean, the substitute.
No.
I mean, it's not a substitute, but the name itself.
Akhir old? Come on now.
Akhir meaning the last, I mean.
Akhir is right, but it's the da'im. It's for the da'im.
Da'im, enduring.
In the first one, Qadim, the Arabic guys. قديم الأول الأول والآخر it's easy الأول الآخر now قديم the author of the book uses قديم قديم in itself you can't say that about Allah and had he just used the word قديم he would have been wrong for using that however he restricted it he said قديم without a beginning If you do that, what does it become? It becomes over here an explanation. He has brought leeway in explaining Allah's names and attributes. So if he said Qadim, he had a problem in his belief. But he said a right sentence. Qadim without a beginning. Which really means an awwal. Ending without the end, without something after him. Al akhir. It's the word. But what he was trying to do is explain these two, al-awwal wal-akhir, which we have in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. So we say Allah is the first in hearing, and He's also the last in hearing. Every attribute of Allah, the first and the last. Every single attribute of Allah, the first and the last. Okay, this takes care of sentence number 5. Who has the book for sentence number 6? Yeah, go ahead. Number 6. Everyone got this? Everyone got these points? I outlined. This should be your outline. The proof, Qadim Old is not a name of Allah. Why Qadim Old can't be? The rules to know the names of Allah, how to apply these rules, and what the proper term for old and enduring is in Islam, it's an awwal wal akhir. I hope everyone understood that. Okay, let's go to the next one, Saeed.
We will never perish or come to an end.
What number is that, 6? By the way, if you see how this author did, he selects sentences randomly. He doesn't go and base it first in the names and attributes of Allah, then go to Qadar, then go to angels. He selects sentences randomly. In Arabic, it's very easy to read, and actually his book is very easy to memorize. And probably, Allahu A'lam, no one that I've read for, no explanation, say how he chose these sentences that we're trying to describe. However, he probably chose it to make it easier to remember. He will never perish, nor will he ever end. Does Allah die? Does anyone believe that Allah will die? Allah said in the Quran, verse 26, Surah 55, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everyone will disperse except Allah. Everyone will pass away except Allah. Another verse in Surah 58, verse 25, Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. Depend on the one who's alive, the all living, who will never die. Everyone other than Allah, of course, will die. I think it's an obvious sentence. The words he used for perish and never end in Arabic, first of all, we took the proof. The words he used in Arabic, yafna, yabid. He will never, what he's trying to say, he'll never disperse or die. Basically, these two words in Arabic mean the same thing. Yafna wa yabid, perish or end. Why did he use these two terms, although they mean almost the same thing? Can anyone say? It's obvious. It's not really something that you need to think about. Why did he use two words that mean nearly the same thing? Why would you guys? Jazakallah khair. Put emphasis and assurance and affirmation that Allah will never die. That's why he uses that. That's obvious. You know that from your English classes. All creations, next point, other than Allah, were non-existent. All creations were non-existent. Allah created them. They will die and they will be resurrected. This is the rule about everyone other than Allah. All creations were non-existent. He created them. They will die and they will be resurrected. The next point is why? Why did he choose such an obvious statement? Why did he choose an obvious statement like this one? Could someone tell me? I think everyone, even our little kids who are 4, 5, and 6, know that Allah will never die. Why didn't he choose to put it in there? The one reason, there's... go ahead.
Maybe because he wants people to realize it at the beginning. He doesn't want them for them to be too hard to understand.
Possibly, but there's three main reasons for him to choose that. In his book, he praises Allah, Allah. It's a form of praising Allah, that Allah will never die. Al-Hayy alladhi la yamut. Second reason is to explain a bit further, Allah, eternal without a beginning, enduring without an end. Enduring without an end, meaning he's trying in this sentence to explain that enduring without an end means he's never going to die. That's the second reason. The third reason, and it's the most important reason, go ahead.
No, I just had a question about, you said Allah will never perish, but I'm just wondering, I mean, I know that we don't have any understanding about how Allah was created, I mean, any idea of Allah being created, but did he come into existence, or has he always been in existence?
We use the terms that the Quran uses. The beginning without an end. We use the Quran terms and the Hadith terms about matters like this. He's the beginning without an end. How did Allah start in the originally? We can't say that. We don't know that. Our minds are limited beyond us even knowing that. Thinking about that is from the devil. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said in a Hadith that the shaitan comes to you and he says to you, you know, basic things. Who created this table? Who created the car? You say Ford Motor Company, GM. Then you go, and who created this huge way of Washington, a community college? Then you say, oh, the construction company did it. And then the devil keeps escalating with you until you reach to the point you say, who created Allah? When you get to that point, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We know he's the beginning without an end. Our mind, you know, you relax to know the answer to that, that our mind are beyond comprehension of Allah fully, and we're going to talk about this actually, or anything beyond the hadith. That's the explanation. He will never perish or end. Yafna, perish or end, yabid. Okay. The next, the three reasons I said he chose this. The first one is praise of Allah, that Allah will never die. The second reason, he's trying to explain sentence number 6, where he's without an end. How is he without an end? He will not die, like Allah told us in the Quran. The third reason is he's in the most important reason that you need to keep. You don't have to memorize 1 and 2, but you have to memorize number 3, is there's people, sects, who believe some of Allah's attributes fade and die away. Some sects believe that Allah's attributes, within time, fade and die away. And that's basically saying that Allah will die away. If I stop moving, what happens to me? I'm a dead man. The same thing about Allah. When they say Allah can't see no longer, or is not alive no longer, or some lot of sects do that. So what he was aiming at is replying to those sects. The next one, number 7. That's basic and that's easy. You know all those points there. Next one is number 7, Saeed.
Nothing happens except that he wills.
Nothing happened except that which Allah wills. And this is very important. The first is the proof for that. Proof for that, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Verse 30 of Surah number 76, you will not will unless Allah wills. You will not will unless Allah wills. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Another verse, verse 29 in Surah 81, you will not will unless Allah wills. The second one is verse 29 in Surah 81. The first one is in Surah 76, verse number 30. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means everything on this universe is under the will of Allah. Good, bad, what you may think evil, what you may not think evil, everything under this universe, everything in the universe, all is under the will of Allah. I say again, what you think may be evil, and what you think, the existence of the devil is under the will of Allah. The existence of the devil is under the will of Allah. The existence of the people who mass murder Muslims, which is evil, is under the will of Allah. The existence of the non-believers in that which Allah wanted them to believe in is under the will of Allah. The existence of the believers is under the will of Allah. The existence of those obedient in the Quran and following the Quran and Islam like Allah wants them, everything is under the will of Allah. It's a simple fact. But sometimes it creates doubt in people's mind. And this is why sex went astray. And Allah let the Jews control and kill the Muslims in Palestine and do what they're doing today. That couldn't happen. That's beyond the will of Allah. And you start thinking, first point to keep in mind, the meaning, everything is under the will of Allah. Why did he choose this statement? Anyone have any doubt? Anyone have any doubt that something's not under the will of Allah? Good. We got a good question. The reason he chose it is because people went astray in this matter. In sex. Major sex went deviant just because the simple matter that we're studying today. And among them is Al-Qadariya and Al-Jabriya, and who took from them their belief, like the Mu'tazila. So there are two major sects. Al-Qadariya Jabriya. Al-Qadariya and Al-Jabriya. Look at their belief. And their problem is they didn't understand truly the will of Allah, so they went astray. Al-Qadariya, they believe Allah has no control over the action. I pray, Allah has no control over it. I go to the bar, Allah has no control over it. I myself create my own actions. Allah is not the creator of my actions. Look how dangerous their belief is. Sins don't happen by the will of Allah. They believe sins don't happen by the will of Allah. They're extremists of the Qadariya. We're talking about the Qadariya. Their extremists deny even that Allah knows about them. They deny that Allah knows people commit sin. So basically, they deny that Allah's will is over everything. That's basically what it is. They say Allah does not have no will over the evil people, his acts, over the sins. We call them the Majus of the Ummah. We call them the Majus. The Majuses believe are the fire worshippers. And the fire worshippers believe in two lords. One who brings the good and one who brings the bad. The one who brings the good and one who brings the bad. So they believe in two lords. Why we call these Qadariya the Majus of our Ummah? Look at the statement the scholars describe them as. Majus, not just plain old Majus. The Majus of this Ummah, because if you don't believe Allah had will over the creation of the sins of the people, then someone else must have had. There's another Lord. So basically they believe in two Lords. One who created the deeds and one who created the sins. Just like the Majus. They believe, the fire worshippers who believe, there's a Lord who brings the good in this world and there's a Lord who brings the bad in the world. So they compare these to them. They say, so they believe that Allah brings the deeds and He has control. Some of them believe that He has control over the will, the sin, the deeds, but not the sins. Some say He has no control over the deeds or the sin. So if He doesn't have a control over the deeds, there has to be someone else in charge of that. That means there's two lords. One for that and one for the other. Is everyone with me on that? Everyone with me? You with me, Harun? Okay. The Jabriya are the total opposite. They believe you're like a feather flying. That's the best thing that describes them. They believe you're like a feather. If you throw it out of this building, we're in the second or third floor. If you throw it out of the window and it starts flying around, that's exactly how you are in this life. You're controlled. You're like a robot. You're like Allah's robot. He pushes you to do what He wants you to do. You have no choice, no will. Everything is Allah. See how we have two radical groups over a little statement like this? And you're going to see why in a minute. Why we have this problem with these two groups. They believe, we tell them, okay, what do you believe? When Allah says, you know, when Allah says pray and fast and do this and do that, if we're totally, you know, under Allah's control like a robot and we don't have choice, what is it? What are we? And they say, oh, this is a metaphor. It's like you say, the sun rose today, or the sun went down today. Do you really mean the sun itself got the power to go up and down by itself? What do you really mean? It's a metaphor for saying, Allah brought the sun up today. Allah took the sun down today. It's fully under Allah's control. So they believe we're a metaphor just like that. When Allah says pray and fast, it's just like the sun came up and the sun went down. Basically, they accuse Allah of having too much time, and He wants to waste His time. Why? Why did Allah tell us pray? Why did it, if we're under His control willingly, we don't have no choice, if we have no choice, why did He say pray? Why did He say fast? Why did He say stay away from the sins? It's basically, scholars describe them as ones who claim Allah has so much time, and He wants to just, you know, just put this in His books and in the hadith, and bring messengers for no reason. We call these the Majus. We call these, what do you think we call these people? What do you think we call these people? Mushrikeen of this Ummah. Why we call them the Mushrikeen of this Ummah? Because the Mushrikeen during the Prophet ﷺ's time said a similar quote to that. They told the Prophet ﷺ, if Allah didn't want us to be non-believers, He would have made us believers. It's up to Allah's hand. So these people said the same thing. سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا The people who commit polytheism during the Prophet ﷺ's time, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ If Allah will, He wouldn't have allowed us to be mushrikeen. So basically, He could have put us in the right direction or forced us to be Muslim. So that's why we call these the mushrikeen of this ummah, because they said the same quote that Quraysh told the Prophet ﷺ. We call these the Majus of this ummah, because they resemble the Majus in having two lords. The belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is Allah, of course, creates your deeds and your sins. However, you're the one who does them, and you do them by your own choice. You're not judged. I don't want to elaborate on this because there's a whole section coming up on this. But I want you to know about these two. However, the section about our deeds, we'll have a whole section on it. But I want to give you the gist of what Ahl Sunnah believe in. Allah creates your deeds, and He creates your sins. However, you're the one who does them, and you do them by your choice. Allah creates them, you do them. And you do them by your choice. You don't get judged by the creation. You don't get judged because Allah created them. Or because He wills them. You get judged because you did them and because they're your choice. That's the basic belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Allah wills the sins and Allah wills the deeds. You don't get judged by the will of Allah. You get judged by the action you take and the choice you make. The next point, why did these two groups go astray? Why did they go astray? They went astray because they did not comprehend the will of Allah. They did not comprehend the statement fully. Everything that happens, nothing that happens except that which Allah wills. The reason they didn't understand it is because there's two types of wills of Allah's will. There's two types. The first one is qadariyya, kawniyya. The first one is kawniyya, the second one is shar'iyya. There's other terms for it, but the most popular is kawniyya and shar'iyya. Take the first one. Kawniyya is everything that happens under Allah's will, but He doesn't necessarily have to like it or be pleased with it. Everything that happens under Allah's will, but He doesn't necessarily have to like it or be pleased with it. Something under the will of Allah. But He doesn't have to necessarily like it, approve of it, or be pleased with it. Can someone give me an example? Shirk. The devil. The sins. All that. It's under the will of Allah. But does He necessarily like it? Of course not. And keep in mind, one thing people do not understand. The creation of something is different from that action. So when He created the devil, that's not evil in itself. Actually, that's not evil. Why? Because there's good that comes. That's not pure evil. Why? Because there's good that comes out of the devil. What's the good that comes out of the devil? Can someone name me something?
Makes your iman strengthen.
Makes us divided into two categories. People who obey the shaitan And people who overcome the shaitan, people are going to go to heaven because of the shaitan, because they did not listen to him, and people who listened to him. So it divides people. And everything is like that. Nothing we say or we think is evil is pure evil. So that's how it goes in the creation of Allah. I'm talking about the point of creation, not talking about the actions of the devil himself. The point of creating the devil cannot be called pure evil. Why? Because there's good that comes out of it. Hellfire is bad. But what's the good that comes out of it? It scares me. That's why I'm not going to try to commit any sins. I'm going to stay away from sins. That's the good that comes out of it. So from the point of view of its creation, it's not pure evil. This is the irada, the will, al-kawniyya. Allah creates it. It's under His will, but He doesn't necessarily have to approve of it or like it. Let's take some verses in the Quran on the first example. Allah says, whomever He wants to lead astray, He will make His chest closing in or narrow in upon him. That's verse 126 in surah number 6. Meaning, Allah can lead people astray. What kind of will is that? Will that Allah is under Allah's will, kawniyya, but He doesn't necessarily have to approve of it. Another one is verse 34 in surah 11. Allah says, إِن كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يُغْوِيَكُمْ. If He wants to lead you astray, He's your Lord. If He wills to lead you astray, He can. He's your Lord. And He who shall go back to Him. If He wills to lead you astray. So this is irada kawniyya. Another one is verse 253 in surah number 2, surah al-Baqarah. Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا. If Allah wills, they wouldn't fight each other. If Allah wills, He didn't fight each other. Meaning Allah may not approve it, but it happened. So it's under the kawniyya. By knowing that, you automatically know number 2. Who wants to give me a definition of number 2?
I say number 2.
Shar'iyya. Who wants to give me, after knowing the first one, who wants to give me a definition of number 2? It's obvious. We said the first one, Allah creates, it's under Allah's will. However, He doesn't necessarily have to approve it, or like it, or be pleased with it. It's under His will, He doesn't have to approve it, like it, or be pleased with it. What's got to be number 2? Come on, guys. Jog your memory.
Can't help it. It's already done.
That's number 1. That's number 1. Number 2, what did you say?
Number 2 is
the will, mashallah. The will of Allah that He likes. You've been studying this before? You studied this before? Why don't you always bring them, Saeed? Shar'iyya is the ones that He created, under His will, but only things He loves. Under His will, but only things He loves. Like verse 26 in surah number 4. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ. Allah wants to show you and teach you and guide you to the right path. Is that good or not? It's under Allah's will, it's good. Allah wants you guided, meaning it's something good, it falls under number 2. The number 26, surah number 4. The next verse, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants to forgive, wants you to repent. Wants to repent and forgive you. What would that fall under? Huh? Number 2. Because it's something good. Repentance, forgiveness, under Allah's will, and it's something good. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفْ. If you want the verses, verse 27, surah number 4. The next one is verse 28. Surah number 4, verses 27 and 28. Well, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah wants it easy upon you. Wants matters in this life upon you easy. Wants everything upon you easy. That's under the will of Allah, and He likes it. So, it's number 2. And the verses like that are many in the Qur'an. If you want, verse 33, Surah 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 33, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسِ. Allah wants to purify you and take all evil aspects away from you, all your family of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's under Allah's will and He likes it, so it's irada shar'iyya. Number 1, basically, everything Allah wills, but not, does not necessarily like. He could like it, but it's not necessarily like or please. Number 2, everything under Allah's will, which only He likes. Now, and this will probably clear up anything you have, the difference between the two. This will help up clear some of the things. Okay, who wants to give me a difference from what you learned so far? An obvious difference. What's the obvious difference between the two? Between the shar'i and the kawniyah? All this talk, and no one's going to give me a difference, we're going to have a problem. He loves. And this one doesn't necessarily have to love it. Good. That's the first difference. This one, he must. It must be things he loves, approves, and likes. This one, who can give me an example of this in day-to-day life? Example. Recite the Quran, dhikr, prayer, staying away from the haram, coming to halaqat like this, all this falls under this. So the first difference is this one must be liked by Allah, this one doesn't necessarily have to be liked by Allah. The next difference is kawniyah does not necessarily, or most of the time, create it for its own self. It's created for another purpose. Unlike number two, shar'iyyah, it's created for its own self. For example, the devil, the sins, were not a creation or a will for their own selves. It was a creation for something else, to test the believers, to see who's righteous and who's not. Number three, the difference, the third difference. Kawniyyah must happen. Must happen. Shar'iyyah does not have to happen. Kawniyyah means death. He took the life of his own messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own messenger under the will of Allah died. Doesn't necessarily have to be liked and pleased by Allah. Shar'iyyah does not have to happen. Who's the one who's going to tell me the three differences so far? Kawniyyah has to happen. Like, the best example for that is death. Death. It's under the will of Allah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to love it and approve of it and be pleased with it. For example, the death of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It's called, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wants has a problem or a misery, let him remember his problem in my death. Meaning that's the biggest of all problems anyone after the Prophet ﷺ can have. But Allah took the soul of his own messenger, the most beloved creation to him on the face of this earth. That's shar'iyyah. I'm sorry, that's kawniyyah. Shar'iyyah are only things, it does not have to happen. If shar'iyyah had to happen, could someone finish that statement? If shar'iyyah had to happen, there you go, jazakallah khair. If shar'iyyah had to happen, everyone on this planet would be Muslim. Everyone on this planet would be repenters. Everyone would be praying five times a day. Everyone would be Muslim. Everyone, where there's peace in the world, there would be no problems in the world. But that's not necessarily going to happen. The fourth difference. Go ahead.
What was one and two again, please?
The first one is that Allah does not have to be pleased. The definition. Allah does not have to, it's a will of Allah, but He doesn't have to be pleased with it. The second one is Allah, will of Allah that He's pleased. One He has to be pleased with, and the other one is not necessarily pleased with. The second one is that it's not created, the kawniyyah will is not created for itself. It's created for other purposes, like the devil. He wasn't created for itself, but rather, for example, to test people, to see the people, hellfire. It was used not for itself, not created or willed for itself, but rather to sway people from hellfire. Shar'iyyah created for itself.
Can you explain that a little bit, Shar'iyyah?
Well, for example, hellfire. Allah did not will or create hellfire just because there's hellfire and He wanted to add it over there. He used that, the purpose of it, to scare me and you. The hellfire is kawniyyah.
Right.
Heaven, or people going to heaven, is shar'iyyah. However, the other side of it, the kawniyyah, the shar'iyyah, I'm sorry, was created for itself. The third one, shar'iyyah, doesn't necessarily have to happen. Kawniyyah must happen. The fourth one, Actually, I want someone to tell me. Try this, Latif. Both shar'iyya and kawniyya combine in something. Could you tell me what? Both of them combine in one thing. In, for example, in a person. How could it combine in me? How could kawniyya and shar'iyya combine in me, Ahmed Jibril? Tell me.
Maybe like something, Allah puts like a adversity or some trial in front of you that turns you back to doing something good.
Okay.
So the aspect of kawniyya, like the fitna that hits you, that's something that maybe Allah does not necessarily love, but its purpose is something else.
You make it complicated, but you're right. You're right. Give me a more easy example. Jazakallah khair. Yes. An easy example. Go ahead.
Your eyesight. Anything physical that you use, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prays for you, whether you use it for the haram or the halal, it's up to you. And he wants to use it.
Yeah, but how does that have to do with the shara'in, the kawniyya?
The kawniyya, he created you.
Okay.
Your creation. Yeah, he created everybody.
Oh.
Okay. And then shara'iyya is that he wants you to do good. So it's up to you.
Okay, I think you're all on the right track, but I want something simple that will help us understand the fourth point. The fourth, go ahead. Qaisar was before you. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let's say you stub your toe. You could, stub your toe, it would be koniya, right? Which is something bad at all in a certain unnecessary life. But instead of saying, you know, instead of saying profanity, you say, you know, stuff real love.
Okay.
How about you're going to die?
Give me an example, Qaisar, on prayer. How could prayer be both of these? If I go up, we prayed the Maghrib just now. How could prayer be both? Wait a minute, Qaisar.
For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you do it for Riyah? You pray for... Or like, for example, you sin.
It's either I'm not understanding this, or you guys are not understanding.
Are you sin, and you ask Allah for repentance?
Let me tell you, prayer, it's easy. Prayer falls... go ahead.
You can make a mistake in prayer, and not do something that invalidates the prayer.
Okay, but the example I'm looking at is prayer falls under the broad definition of these two, in that Allah wills prayer or not, and He wants you. He loves it or no? He loves prayer?
Yes.
Of course He loves it. Does He love one who prays?
Yes.
So what's that?
Shara'iyya.
Did it happen or no?
No,
I prayed. I'm talking about me who prayed. I prayed. Did it happen or no?
Yes.
If it happened, then it's kawniyya. It's kawniyya. Where could it be only one by itself? Shar'iyya. Kawniyya happens. I'm sorry. Shar'iyya could happen where Allah loves for a non-believer. Allah loves for a non-believer to pray. That's shar'iyya. Because it didn't happen, a kafir, he's not going to pray. It's not kawniyya. It's only shar'iyya. He loved for him to pray. It's shar'iyya. The fact that it didn't happen is kawniyya. Because I told you, everything under this, everything Allah wills is under kawniyya. He doesn't have to necessarily approve of it, or like it, or be pleased with it. However, everything is under kawniyya. This is a subcategory where only the things He loves fall under shar'iyya. So when I pray, or Allah tells me to pray, let's for me to pray, that's shar'iyya. I did it, it happened, that's kawniyya. Both of them happened. A non-believer who doesn't pray, Allah loves for him to pray. But the kawniyya part didn't happen, which is, it didn't actually physically happen.
So,
are you guys with me, or did I lose you?
If you pray, you repeat that to me again. Then if the non-believer prays, do you understand my question? Or?
Okay. Let me explain the last one again. Kawniyya, everything that happens under Allah's will fall under kawniyya. I added to that, He does not necessarily have to like it or approve of it or be pleased with it. Everything Allah wills. Everything.
That covers everything.
Everything. Everything. Exactly. This is what you would probably think of it. I probably should have put it as a subcategory of kawniyya. Meaning, you pull out the good ones, good things, and it becomes shar'iyya. So, everything Allah wills. Everything Allah wills is kawniyya. Allah loves for people to pray. For people to repent. It's shara'iyya. If I got up and pray when it was Maghrib time,
then it happened. It actually happened. That's kawniyah. That's kawniyah. So both of them apply. Allah loves for a sinner who's in a bar to repent. That's shar'iyyah. If he does repent, it becomes kawniyah. Shar'iyyah and kawniyah together. If he doesn't repent, it's only shar'iyyah. Are you with me?
So basically what you're saying, the sharia is like what Allah wants from us, but it's
wills and is pleased with and loves and, you know, has to be pleased, love, and likes.
And then tawniyah is like, it happened.
Anything that happens. Anything that happens and Allah wills, all of it fall under this one. However, this one is only the good part about it. Are you with us?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we should stop here because I don't want to overdo it. Yes.
That answers the question that came up, and then I understand it. I'll pose it anyway. It maybe it's rhetorical. If kawniyah is not pure evil and some good can come out of it, I was thinking before I understood this, well, Sharia. Is there good, but that some evil is behind it?
No.
So that understands.
Okay.
That's
okay. Jazakallah.
What's the literal translation of kawniyah in shar'iyya?
Shar'iyya, I don't know what you would really say it, the literal meaning of it, but kawniyah literally means universal. Shar'iyya is, you know, like sharia, the Islamic word sharia. But kawniyah is universal. Probably that will help you more understand it. Meaning universal, anything universally happened under Allah's will.
So always the sharia comes from the kawniyah, right? Is that always like...
Let me give you an example. Ammar ibn Yasir got persecuted in Mecca. Which one of these is that?
Kawniyah.
It happened, but Allah doesn't literally like his servants being persecuted and oppressed, so it's kawniyah.
But let's say that caused him to have more iman.
If you say that, you take it from that angle, then it becomes shar'iyyah.
Then that the fact that he increased in his iman.
He got more iman. He was more patient. He got more ajr. It swayed him. Then it becomes all that good part of it is shar'iyyah. However,
the kawniyah is always it's going to happen, and the sharia is like the response to what's going to happen. Like if we're going to pray, Allah has established.
In this example, yes. In this example, the response to it, yes.
So can I ask you, like so Allah has established salah clear, and always is going to happen. This we know until the end, and when the salah doesn't happen, but the sharia is like who is going to do it and
who responds to it. Yes.
Right.
Who physically responds to it?
Okay.
Yes.
So. Sharia is always going to be with kawniyah, right?
Yes, he's right, because it's a subcategory. Yes, okay. Because, yeah, he's right. It would be more, the scholars never consider a subcategory. They always, any book of Tawheed, they consider it too. If you read Tafsir ibn Kathir, he talks about this. Aqidah Tahawiyah, they talk about it. A lot of books, they describe it as two. But to help you better understand it, take it as sharia is the subcategory of kawniyah. Kawniyah, everything that happens, everything Allah wills, the shar'iyyah is the good part about it. The only one that Allah loves. Any more questions? Okay, inshallah, we end it with this. I know it's pretty intensive. I hope you understand it. Please look at your notes. Look them over, review them. And next week, maybe in the beginning, we'll start off with questions again. I mean, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. Maybe next week we'll summarize it. Sisters, do you have any questions? No questions? It's pretty clear? Okay, inshallah, next week, if there's no questions in the beginning, we'll start with number 8. No imagine can conceive of him, and no understanding can comprehend him. Jazakum Allah khair, all of you for attending, and those who organized it, and everyone who went through the efforts of coming down here. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.